Nice night for a walk.
Today we are canceling the apocalypse!
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
This is my security chief, Alara Catan, my chief medical officer, Claire Finn, and my ex-wife, Kelly Grayson.
To deny our own impulses is to deny the very thing that makes us human.
Where are we going?
Up to my shack.
What the hell for?
Because when I left yesterday, I turned the lights off.
I have pressed the button on the fancy screen.
Oh, look, record's flashing red.
It is, yeah. No one's allowed to come in the door.
Oh, it's like we're in
red.
A real studio.
This is very cool. TJ's gone and brought a new toy.
Yeah, we've got a new recording toy. We have a Mackie DLZ Creator, and it's probably massively over top for just our show, but we have got plans on doing a little bit of creator stuff with streaming and game recording and some video work in the future and a few extra bits for the show. So it is going to get heavily used.
I can't stop staring at it. I've got a big smile on my face.
It's got a lovely big screen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we were looking at the Rodecaster 2 Pro.
Yeah.
And that screen was tiny. That's a 10-inch screen on this. It's like having an iPad attached to it.
Well, it's like having a little laptop next to me, basically.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
100%. And it's definitely an upgrade to what we were using previously, which was it was designed to be a portable thing. It was designed to go out into the field so you could set up microphones for people and then move to your next location.
Mm. But it's worked.
We don't
really
do
well
that.
For us, yeah. Well, at the time we did do it, we kept losing stuff, didn't we? Well, oh, no, well, that was a
different
thing.
No, that was
with
the wireless mics, yeah.
Yeah, that was those wireless mics, yeah. Yeah. That was.
When we went to London for Star Trek, we lost about over half of our content we lost.
Yeah. But it was all fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was all fun.
Flash! Flash, I love you! But we only have 14 hours to save the Earth!
So. Guess the intro from last week. So how did you do? Well, I mean, I can tell you for you.
Yeah.
You got them all eventually.
Exactly. Eventually.
Between the workshopping of you, Karen, Adam and Simon.
Yeah.
You got there eventually.
It was eventually. It was really good though. And up until this point, we still have had no 100% correct answers.
We had someone very close.
Very close, but
like
not quite.
One off. Close.
I'm going to be anal about this, and I'm going to say it needs to be 100% to get the £10 Amazon
voucher. Oh, it has to be 100%.
So if they didn't get it last week, same competition applies this week.
Yeah, but with the intro they just heard, would you like me to play the previous one back to you?
Hang on a moment. That won't work, will it? Because you're about to make me do it.
No. So you're going to hear last week's. Now I'm going to play you last week's. So you just can hear last week's again and you can say what they are for people. It's over. Last week's is done and gone. They've got a new one now.
You know, I can't remember, don't you?
Okay, so let's just try this first time ever. We're going to press unpause on.
Ooh, okay.
I've done it on the wrong one.
You've done that on the wrong channel. You need 9 and 10.
Heat them up.
Hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that straight from Rob's phone.
I'm just doing a split screen on my phone here.
Ooh, very sci-fi of you.
Yeah, so I can actually get the notes up.
Talking to the mic.
Spores, molds, and
oh,
fungus.
Sorry, yeah.
You really licked his ass.
Welcome to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show.
It's going well so far, isn't it?
So it's going to be very much like Cheap Show for a while, where I shout at Rob to talk into the mic, because this new recorder, as you can hear, he's already moved away from it.
I'm right here. Look,
is
I'm right
really
here.
Anal about making sure you now talk into the microphone, because the idea is it is really making sure that no background noises, no echo, anything like that, no mic echoes or caught, all of that stuff. So bear with us.
So I said last time there were 7, there was actually 8. I did put a post out saying that.
You did?
But, you know, even when I told the people that did write in to me that it was actually 8, they still didn't get it anyway. And there's one in particular that they all missed.
Okay.
So, do you know, just from that little bit, even though I was speaking over it, can you remember any of them?
No, I really can't.
Okay, so we had Ghostbusters.
Yep, obviously.
We had Aliens.
Yes.
I would have accepted Alien. I would have accepted
Would have just accepted the franchise. Okay.
I'm going to do the hard one last go. Stargate, when you hear the person saying Chevron 1 encoded.
Yes.
Yeah. And Flash Gordon, which if anyone has now watched the episode along with us, they would have actually gone back and heard that.
Hopefully so.
Dive! we had Farscape. That was a tough one. I purposely picked a tough one because I wanted Karen to not get it because we'd been speaking about Farscape.
Right, okay.
So that was the one where he's like, it's in my head.
Oh, right. So, yes. I know which one you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you know much about Farscape?
Not much. I remember watching it when it first came out because obviously I was really kind of sci-fi orientated. Yeah. I was going through my Star Trek phase and it's like new show on Channel 4. It's like, oh, I'll watch it. I just thought it was a bit weird.
So
too weird
in the later series. I think the main bad guy, can't remember if he like dies, something happens to him, but gets implanted into the mind of the protagonist. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying. He's like, he's in my head.
Yes. Yeah. I vaguely remember that now. Yeah, it's that weird one, isn't it? Because you'd got the short little hairy alien dude, you'd got he was like,
he's like a
king
rich
or something. He was regal.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you had, I think he was an ex-Neighbours actor, was the main man. I can't remember. He was, I think he was definitely a soap opera person.
You know, it's interesting because he's in Stargate as well, SG-1.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, the later, and so is the woman.
Oh.
So the love interest, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, you got the love interest.
Yeah, she's also in Stargate SG-1 in the later series.
Then you had the one that basically was a stolen character design from a George Lucas Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I remember rightly, didn't you have to injure him to help him heal or something like that?
I don't really remember too much, yeah.
So yeah, there was something weird like that. Then you had the evil bondage dude.
Yeah, that's the bad guy.
Who then ends up in his head. Yeah, I remember that weird.
Pilot,
yes, which always looked very cool.
And then you had the ship.
Yeah.
Itself.
And obviously, same era, Babylon 5 we should probably look at some point.
Mm. Bran is obsessed with us watching Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, what
now,
a good
I've
film.
Never seen it all the way through.
Which, sacrilege.
Yeah, that's exactly the word she would use too, because it's one of her favourites.
I mean, it's a great fantasy film.
So, Fast Company said, Star Wars. That's the one that I didn't have on my list, but it's obvious there's Star Wars. There's a lightsaber and Jar Jar Binks. And then Demolition Man is at the end.
Which it has to be.
Has to be.
For the first one of the series, it has to be in there.
Yeah, and the last one, Sequest.
Sequest.
That's the one that no one could get. Yeah, no, that's the one that nobody got.
Doesn't surprise me, because I don't think people believe that Sequest existed.
Yeah, and it's got the dude from Jaws in it, which blows my mind that he's in it.
Oh, well, there you go.
And this is the show that I always take the piss out of Stiddy for, because when he used to explain it to me, maybe he didn't explain it, but is there a dolphin in it?
There is a dolphin in it. I think there's a pair of dolphins.
Something?
And
is that what the joke is from Star Trek, from Lower Decks?
Yes, but there's also, I think that's partly DSV, but there's also like an episode of Star Trek where Alexander, one of the most annoying characters, ends up befriending Troy's mum, who is probably my most hated character. And basically she says, he goes, oh, Dad, do I really have to come with you? And he's like, yeah, I told you, get your ass back to like our room. I mean, lucky you. You've got to live with me, mate. And he's like, but we were going to go and see the dolphins.
Oh.
So even the Enterprise has dolphins.
Okay, well, that's it. No one got it.
No one got it. So this week, £10 is still up for offer.
So it's over, is it?
I will roll it over. It just won't go up in money. It's not like the lottery. I'm a cheapskate.
We're only doing this once.
It's only happening once. Until someone gets them all, then once it's done, it's done.
So obviously they would have heard, you won't have heard it. I wouldn't have heard it because I haven't made it yet. But there is 1, 2, 3, 4. There is six because I have
time.
It written on my, because I've got them planned. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six.
And is it hard this week?
This one is probably going to be easier.
Oh, okay. So we're giving the £10 away for this one.
Yeah,
then.
I'm pretty sure only one of them somebody might not get. I think you're going to get all of these unless I purposely pick really difficult.
Okay. Cool.
But anyway.
Sounds good.
Let's go on with it.
Look, water is leaking from her eyes.
So, mate, what have you been doing?
Same old, same old. You can stop now.
It's the running joke, isn't it?
It is the running joke. I haven't really watched much sci-fi, except for Flash Gordon, which is what we needed to watch.
Yeah.
I have been playing a lot more games.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sat there. The Lenovo's come out most evenings.
Yeah, yeah.
I've completed... Are we going to do a game section in a minute? And we talk about that then?
Just talk about it now.
So I've completed The World Is Not Enough.
Yes.
On N64.
You have, yeah.
And blown away by how good it was. I was really expecting that to be some sort of shoddy GoldenEye knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It is entirely its own game. Yeah, they've taken a couple of little bits here and there, Eurocom, but on the most part, it's absolutely worth playing. It's its own game, and it deserves it to be its own game because they've done such a good job on it. It looks good. The levels are pretty much the similar length that the GoldenEye levels were.
The ones I've done so far, I thought were a bit shorter.
They do get longer.
Okay.
They do get longer. But you're right. The first couple you play, especially the bank one, you realise, oh my God, that was like...
The bank one. Yeah, when you figure it out, when you actually realise what you got to do.
Yeah. And it can be a little bit pernickety about you go up to a door code, you choose the key card to use, and if you're not pointing exactly at the key card, hold a thing on the wall, and you're within a certain distance, it just doesn't do anything. So you think, oh, it's obviously not that one. So, yeah, I think I lost 10 minutes on the bank mission because it's like, well, I've gone and done the other door and it worked with it, but this door doesn't work with it. And then I realise, oh, I need to take one step closer and boom, there it was. It worked. Absolutely fine. So there's that. Finished Half-Life 2 the other day.
Nice.
So I'm two games down on that. And the other one I've started is Duke Nukem 64 Zero Hour on N64.
Yeah.
Which is the one I never played. So we had, back in the day, Duke Nukem Time to Kill on the PlayStation, which is similar story. It's Duke Nukem going through time to fix everything. Zero Hour is the N64's equivalent. Basically, I don't know why they did two different games. Very odd, because they're both third person. They're both very similar in design. I'm guessing just different studios, I'm guessing. In fact, I think this is the same studio, interestingly, that did World Is Not Enough, because there's a lot of similarities in the controls and holding down one button and then doing another button to do extra bits. So it is interesting to see that not necessarily the engine was carried over, but they went design style, let's keep it similar.
It's funny, when you play a lot of these older FPS games, even when you go to like the PS2 era, even the PS3 era ones,
yeah,
the buttons for every single one are totally different, and they're really difficult to manage because we're all so used to basically, quote-unquote, the COD button skin, which is now basically the default, you know, X reload, Y jump or whatever it is, B, you know, the kind of B being crouch or whatever, and or A jump, whatever it is. Why change weapon? It's something like that, isn't it? There's like a standard.
Yeah.
But all those other ones...
It's taken years to get into a position. Yeah. Because don't forget, when it started with Doom, you had just the cursor keys, no mouse look.
Yeah.
You had control was fire, space was use. Then you'd find the occasional game would be control would be crouch.
Yeah.
Or C would be crouch when crouching became a thing. Space bar would become jump. So then you had to think, well, what's the use button? And they moved to return for being the use button. And then obviously we got into the modern era of FPSs, and then the mouse started to get involved, and you got mouse look, which then meant people moved to WASD, which then gave you WASD. E is always use, R is always reload. Yeah. Brilliant. Works really well. Space is jump, control is crouch, shift is run. And it's kind of evolved from that. And then you're right. Then it comes into the console gaming. And I think really... the modern systems have pretty much gone for the same, haven't they? So you've got your triggers are always fire. You've got your left trigger is always your secondary action. You've got your shoulder buttons tend to do grenades or something. And then you're right. I think normally the top button, which is Y, isn't it?
It's change weapon.
Y is normally, I think, is it?
I think it's change weapon. Yeah.
Then you've got to the left of it, whatever that one is.
BX probably.
X is going to be reload.
Yeah.
Then, no, X is down at the bottom, isn't it?
Depends what console it is. If you're saying an Xbox, X is on the left, but on PlayStation is the bottom.
Yeah,
but he's saying the 9 o'clock position.
Yeah, so 6 o'clock tends to be kind of jump.
Yeah.
9 o'clock tends to be use. Very top is reload or change weapon. And then 3 o'clock will either be reload or change weapon, dependent on what's set to the other one. But there is that global standard now, isn't there? And then one of the thumbsticks tends to be melee to attack.
Yeah.
So you've got the standards. And interesting with this, with Duke Nukem 0 Hour, I actually had to go through all of their settings. So they'd got 4 or 5 different controller layouts, all pre-done for you. And yeah. I think I've chosen number 3, which is the one that pretty much matches The World Is Not Enough, because I've just got used to playing that.
Yeah.
So actually, it's quite nice to go back to a similar one. The only thing I'll say about it, it is rock hard.
Mm-hmm.
Some bits are pretty easy, but then you come across some of the lizard creatures, especially the snipers. 2 shots from them and you're dead. And it suffers what you suffered with in GoldenEye. Although it's got a semi-okay automatic aiming ability, the big issue with it is, as soon as you go to the manual aim, it's clunky again, just like the N64 was, just like it was on GoldenEye. You're holding down a trigger, one of the top shoulder buttons. You're using your joystick to move it around, and it just moves left and right. And then you go to do the trigger, and it's like, oh no, now I've moved off and I've missed them.
Yeah.
And with the snipers in 0 Hour, it's such a pain in the ass, because I say 2 shots, you're dead by them. And almost always I've taken at least 1 hit from them when I've spotted them too late, because I'm faffing about trying to get this precise shot on them.
Yeah. I don't know. Did I ever play that? I'm not sure if I've ever actually played it. But I do like the old Duke Nukems.
Yeah, I do. I like all the Duke Nukems on the most part. Duke Nukem Forever, I thought, was incredibly forced, a bit rubbish.
So the newest one?
That was the one that took years and years.
Yeah, I never played it.
Yeah, it was rubbish. It was not anywhere near what Duke Nukem should have been. Interestingly, they did, or someone leaked, a really large build of Duke Nukem Forever back in, from I think it was 97 or 98. When it first kind of appeared on people's radars as this is coming, you've had Duke Nukem 3D, look at this. And it was using, I think it was the Quake 2 engine or a similar engine at the time. And they're completing it. They're finishing it. You can actually download it. It's playable now.
Oh, cool.
And you can play it on modern machines. And it's such a different game to what we've got now. I mean, the joke was it was Duke Nukem Forever, DNF, did not finish. It should have stayed not finished, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, people do say it's okay, but it's just not a match to something like 3D. Even A Time to Kill on the PlayStation, which was a third person, completely different style game, that beats Forever in my book.
Do you reckon they could do another Duke Nukem nowadays?
Not easily, and you'd probably end up upsetting too many people with his attitude and how he is. And yeah, I just don't think a game studio would bother risking it. Sadly, even as a joke, I'm not sure you'd get away with it, which is a shame, because the games on the most part were good. And it's really difficult to say, actually, because Duke Nukem 3D got Duke Nukem 3D World Tour released not too long ago, a few years ago, obviously. Yeah. And that was released to PlayStation 4. So it was just Duke Nukem 3D, the original levels, the Atomic Edition, and then some new levels from around the world, where you go to different places around Earth. Bit crap, but it's the same game, and they've still released it. But I don't know if it's because it was just the original that they got away with it. If they said we're building a brand new one from scratch and included everything that might be inappropriate, don't know. Honestly, don't know.
I think if they took the inappropriate stuff away, it wouldn't be...
It would kill it.
They're still making those terrible... cartoony porn ones.
Well, saying that, there is a game...
Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, Leisure Suit Larry.
They're still making them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think there's a mobile one.
The problem is, he's just a lech in that.
There might be a Switch one. Might be.
I'll have to look into that.
On
then.
The Switch, e-store.
Okay, we'll have to look into that. Saying that, the closest you can get to Duke Nukem 3D... a modern game is, and I'm just pointing it, and you won't see it because there's a box in the way, a game called Ion Fury, and that was made by the same studio that made Duke Nukem 3D. It's even in the original build engine. They've just modernized it so it works on modern computers. So it looks exactly like Duke Nukem 3D. It's got its own character. It's brilliant. It's just like playing Duke Nukem 3D, just without his
attitude,
his womanizing, misogynistic attitude. It's still got a lot of humour to it. It's still very similar to that era of games. It's well worth playing. When we swap Steam, you'll be able to play it, so you can have a go.
As he says, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, but I'm all out of gum.
Oh, I'm going to rip off your head and shit down your throat.
Hell to the king, baby.
Tell me more about this man, Houdini.
What have you been up to?
I have also been playing a lot of games, but I've also watched some sci-fi.
Ooh, what sci-fi have you watched?
So we watched Alien Romulus.
Oh, of course you did.
Which I put that little bonus out, that little 10-minute snippet.
Yeah, it's in my queue to listen to tomorrow on my train to Kent.
Where I am whispering slightly, so the audio quality is not great. I do whisper a bit because I was a little bit kind of, it was 10:30 at night. And
didn't want to wake
I'm at the back of the garden. So, and there's a lot of people around with dogs and, you know, people coming in. I was like a little bit self-conscious about it. I don't know why, because I walked for 45 minutes on my own doing it
without recording yourself to start with.
And was fine without recording myself at first. Yeah, fuck. Well, there's some that I cut from this bonus of me going, what the fucking hell is this on? What am I doing?
Oh, genius.
And it was already on. Yeah, so I just, a little talk. I basically just cum my pants over it. I fucking loved it.
I really enjoyed it. I saw it at the cinema. I understand people's, or some people's frustrations with it. I don't feel that the people that criticize it saying it's just trying to rewrite Alien. No, it's not. I think it's actually a really good continuation of it.
I don't think it's trying to rewrite anything. Now, Telf did make the point that the end is very similar to, is it Prometheus?
Yeah, but Prometheus was shit.
Yeah, and yeah, I could see the similarity, the offspring being the character.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that a mile off as soon as she was putting the black spunk in her.
Yeah.
But I think that was the point of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
but that didn't detract from my experience. I just, the two things about it. We spoke last time about practical effects. The practical effects in this sell this film so wonderfully. They are perfect.
Yes.
The offspring character is practical. Everything is practical.
The fact is, that is played by a Russian basketball player. And you look at him, he's like, you didn't need much doing to use a look like that.
It's just incredible. When you actually see the xenomorphs in the background, where, you know, the scene before she shoots them all in the zero G, they're quite clearly people in suits. They look like, but that's not a bad thing because it makes them feel real.
Absolutely.
They actually look like they're creatures with the right anima, you know, the right proportions of what you think a creature might look like. Whereas if that had been Alien 4, whatever it was called, where you know, the swimming one.
Yeah, Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, they would have been all CGI and they would have looked fucking dreadful.
And they did. They did look dreadful. I mean, I've got a little bit of love for Resurrection, even though it's a terrible film. It's just kind of that it came out when I was old enough to actually see it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've kind of have that little bit of love for it because of that. I mean, one thing I would say about Alien Romulus, which I was so happy about, and they maybe did it a little bit too much, but they didn't do a Discovery on us.
No.
It still felt, and we've said this about Alien Isolation, they didn't modernize the technology.
Yes, that was so good. There was a lot of grins while I was watching, going, oh, they've got the CRT monitors everywhere.
They've got amber screens. They've got CRT monitors.
I think there's a bit where it says 2036. And it was an implication that this is set in what their world of 2030. I don't think it is, but there was a thing that came up and Moran was kind of like, is this meant to be in 2036? Back when they made Aliens' idea of what 2036 would be. The thing is, you could see spaceships being just like this.
Yes.
This industrial, dirty, no panels anywhere, no LED light, fluorescent lights, you know,
but
coming on.
This is
on.
The point, isn't it? And when you consider, if you were to build a giant spaceship that had to move people around, pardon me, that was doing some sort of industry, you're not going to make it beautiful and shiny. It's going to look like a ship that floats on the ocean currently. And you don't get top of the range, super shiny, high definition. You get functional things. You get things that you know I can repair that.
Yeah. And the nice areas are all the living quarters. Did you notice the bridge, the mother room, the living quarters where they're all eating, and the sick bay?
Yes.
They all look completely different than any other part of the ship. Which all the rest of it look like. There's not a panel anywhere. There's cables. There's everything.
As much as the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films aren't necessarily the best Star Trek films, I've enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
They're their own thing. And at least they said, this isn't canon.
Yeah.
Okay, we've rebuilt a couple of the films and done it in our own way, i.e. Spock is now Kirk and Kirk is Spock in the second film when they're fighting Khan.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they had a go at doing something a bit different. But the thing is, yes, the bridge of the ship and everything looks really shiny and new and you've got holograms and shit on there. But when you get to the engine room, it's a fuck off nuclear accelerator. Someone actually went and said, you know what? What would our first sort of starships that we're going to have, what would it look like? Would it look like this really flash, cool looking warp core? Or would it just look like a nuclear accelerator? And that's what they did.
Well, they
and it's just pipes and it's gantries and it looks industrial. You're exactly what you're saying. It looks to be worked in, not to look pretty.
Well, I think they got that right in Enterprise, didn't they?
Yeah, Enterprise, again, they did it really well. It's this first ship. It's designed to look like it's to do a job.
Lump
it's
of engine minimal. With loads of walkways around.
Yeah, we've got no idea really what we're doing. We just need this to be functional and to do what it's meant to do. Yeah. We'll make it look nice later.
Yeah. What I would also say, so then back to Romulus, the CGI aspects of it. Amazing, some amazing cinematography with some of the external scenes. In particular, one of my favourite scenes is right at the end.
Yeah.
Where the offspring is getting ejected out and she is hanging and the whole cargo base bit is dropping off the ship.
Yes.
And she's going through the hull and just it's black. You for about 5 seconds, maybe less, you can't really see what's going on. It's black, things are going past, you hear her screaming, you hear the monster going off, and then suddenly boom, there's light and you just see the asteroid ring going around the planet. And this beautiful, imagine, I'd love to see this in an IMAX screen. This beautiful wide shot.
IMAX would have been amazing for
this. To and just seeing that get destroyed and it was just a beautiful scene. I just thought, like, yeah, okay, I'm watching a alien get destroyed by an asteroid. But I was just like, this is the best, one of the best scenes in this film, this moment.
100%. I really, really liked that scene. The alien at the end, I think, if I were to push a criticism, we see the baby born, and then minutes later, it's this 7 or 8 foot tall alien.
Yes.
And I know it's something we have to suspend our disbelief in.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the first film, they capture the chest hugger, the chest hugger explodes, doesn't it? And then by the end of the film, it's a fully grown alien.
It very quickly, well, because we've started watching Alien the other day.
And it is a very quick growing thing.
It happens very quick.
But it does feel maybe too quick to be a ending. Now, if that had happened when they got on the ship and that birth had happened before all of the shit goes down, when they do the zero G jumping through the aliens, the lift shaft bit and all of that, if it had happened all before of that and you'd seen it, then we'd got 15 minutes of the zero G stuff and the rescuing the bits and so on, and then came back and it had grown. You know what? I would have accepted it a bit more.
Yeah.
But to have it born, her literally jumped down into what looks like a grain silo or whatever it was, and now it's full size.
Yeah.
That might be my only criticism I have about it.
Yeah, I thought it was going to pull a mummy scene on her with it like licking her face and being, I mean, kind of like
that's
it
resurrection.
Does. But no, he's eating fucking eats her. And
oh,
I was
yeah.
like, touch. Yeah, I like that. But I think my only, if I'm going to have to pick a criticism, I don't really want to, but if I did, the very beginning, the very first time you've seen Ian Holmes.
Yep.
The just that first bit that is quite clearly computerized didn't work for me. But I think they did make a practical model of him because it feels like they did, because every other scene after then, I was fine with it and it didn't look wrong.
Now, interestingly, you're seeing a different version to the one I've seen.
Right.
So they announced it recently. The cinema, a lot of people complained with how bad he looked. I didn't think he looked that bad. I accepted it's a CGI representation. You've just got to accept that. The man's not there, so it's got to be what it is. Apparently, the home release of the film has had him completely reworked and made to look better, is their words.
Well, I thought it's practical. It's just the very first time you see him, where he gets dragged up and placed, I was looking at it going, that I hope this is not going to be like that all the time that he's on the screen, because I was really like, Uncanny Valley, that's quite clearly computerized. I didn't like it. But that's like a 5-minute scene. Every time you see him after, he quite clearly looks like a degraded synth, clearly.
Yeah.
More than he does Ian Holmes, but you know it's him. And then when you see his face on the computer monitors, I think because they're doing all the staticky effects and stuff, that really helps.
It really did help.
And it made him look like it was him.
100%. I mean, I will rewatch it now it's on Disney Plus, because I want to see how it looks compared to what I remember.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't mind it. So I think a lot of people have moaned about something that really they should have just got over. Mm-hmm. For me, the standout was obviously the character that was being played as her brother stroke android. Absolute amazing character portrayal from beginning to end, and just how quickly he snaps and completely, it feels like 100% a different character. So you know what, definitely that was the standout for me. And I think the thing I will say finally, because obviously we need to talk about Flash Gordon,
we'll get there, yeah.
Better than Covenant, better than Prometheus, a million times better than both of those.
Yeah, I've got it. I don't know if it's my second or third favourite. Alien is still my favourite, and I can't pick between Aliens and Romulus. I think I need to watch Aliens again.
100% you do.
To remind myself, and then I'll be able to definitively say, but that's how much I liked it. I thought this was brilliant. You know what? It's my favourite film of the year.
Well, I agree with you. Well, of 2024.
I would say of 2025. They're my best film I've seen this year.
Nice.
And I've seen Flesh Gordon.
Did you say Flesh Gordon? Because that's a completely different film, and no. I've not watched that one.
Just quickly, last thing, I've been playing a lot on the deck, and I've been playing a lot of Draken, PS2.
Oh, yeah.
Draken Ancient Gates, yeah. I'm really enjoying that game. Playing this thing every single night at the moment. Anyway, shall we talk about Flash Gordon? Flash, savior of the universe.
What a film.
Fuck it. I forgot how funny it was. It's slapstick in some places.
Interestingly, and again, a lot of my research has been IMDb because it's the quickest place to get a lot of the stuff. But apparently the director regretted that choice. He was told to make it comedic. He didn't want to. He wanted to make it semi-serious.
Oh, really? I don't think it would have worked if it was serious.
Well, I mean, up until a certain point of it, I know it's got a bit of comedic stuff to it, but when he's like trying to persuade her to dial in Dale with the telepathy phone call thing.
She's like, it was so cringe.
It's just, he's like, okay, so I'm talking to her. God, she's turning me on so much. What? Did I just hear that?
I'm thinking of the wrong bit. I'm thinking of it where he's got the ring where...
No. This is when they're on the ship and she's got the thing that she pulls out. I'm going to someone. And then he's literally talking to them.
Like,
and
then
just suddenly all of a sudden says, God, she's turning me on. Oh, that wasn't for you. I've got to stop thinking.
It's just like, no, I was thinking that. That's not for you. And then and they're just like, I've got to go.
It's just like, what the hell is going on here?
There were so many bits like that. We're just going to go and just do random bits of this thing. We're just going to talk about it as two mates talking about a film. I don't want to go step by step. So the bit that really got Miranda and I, because she watched it with me. I'm so glad she did, because to hear her going, ooh, and then laughing as well, it was great. There's a few bits I was going, he seems a bit, I've said this before, lechy, a bit weird.
Yes.
All the men were like, I'm surprised if this was on Disney, it would have the thing come up. This is from men in a different time.
It did.
Oh, did it?
It does.
Is it? Not on YouTube. I got it on YouTube.
So interestingly, and I was really lucky, it's on ITVX at the moment. So I've got it.
Oh, well, I haven't got ITVX.
So I got to watch it on ITVX for free and it's all its glory. Mm. But yeah, if you read, the cinema re-release was released as 12A.
Yeah, it's 12 on YouTube.
And it was released with a... this shows blah, blah, blah of the era and the time. But then the, must have been the 40th anniversary in 2020, had a fully remastered digital Blu-ray and there is no warning on it and it's PG again.
Oh, the one I brought on YouTube is 12.
Yeah.
It's rated 12. And it really started properly for us, both Miranda and I, when... Ming the Merciless was using his ring on her.
Oh,
and
no, she's like, basically, Ming's ring.
Yeah, Ming's ring. I said that. That's exactly what I was going. I was going, Ming's ring. Hey, we end up in the ring, doesn't he? Old Ming ring. And she's like basically just stood in the middle of all this room, all these people just touching herself up.
Yep.
And we were both like going, ooh.
Yeah. Which director did this film? Is it someone that we currently knows on Me Too?
Yeah. Has he been to the island?
Not to watch.
What I would say, what a wonderfully colourful, fun... Oh,
it's a beautifully designed thing.
Yeah.
The uniforms, the outfits of everyone, Timothy Dalton looking like Robin Hood.
Yeah, he was proper Robin. So we get, and what some actors, Max von Sydow as Ming. I didn't realise it was him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some huge names in
it. Yeah, and obviously, as you just said, Timothy Dalton. Brian Blessed, who I knew, was in it. I was like, dive!
Gordon's alive!
Just incredible.
IMDb, went back and watched it. The man that hands over the suitcases to the plane, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Coltrane.
Yeah.
So what the hell? Richard O'Brien's in it.
Yep.
There's so many good names in that film. Mm. So many. And as you spot them, it gets funnier and funnier, realizing that they're mincing about and just doing this really weird space opera that isn't really that good, but it has no reason not to be as enjoyable as it is.
Yeah, just, I had a smile all the way through, even during the bits. I was like, oh, you can't say that. Oh, that's a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Flash was really like, so I was watching you in the lobby. I wish I'd gone to, and then, or there's a bit where he's like talking to her, he's like, we'll have kids together or something. It's like, fucking slow down, Flash.
Flash by name, Flash by nature.
And I did also make the point, it's like, that's like me walking around with a t-shirt that says Rob.
Oh, I like it.
Is it?
Right. What really makes me laugh, and moving away from Flash Gordon, just for a moment, I know we do tangents.
Mm.
Have you seen Ted and Ted 2?
I've definitely seen Ted 1. I'm not sure I've seen Ted 2.
So Flash is in it. He's in both of those films.
Oh, yeah, of course he is, yeah.
And he's a coked up, like, he's just this coked up muscle head who lives on the fame of being Flash Gordon still. And I just love it because you think about and watch the film and you just think Flash's character, that's exactly what he would do.
Yeah. Oh, how good is the fight scene where he's doing American football?
Oh, my God.
And then the doctor knocks him out.
Oh, what about the fight scene on the rotating disc that tips?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The disc of Brian Blessed's got the controller to make it
give
tip.
Give me the remote. La 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 la. Spiky time.
Yes, it is. So Timothy Dalton's character, Prince, I've got it written down here. Prince Baron.
Of course.
Essentially, or Baron, essentially Robin Hood, is having a fight with Flash Gordon on this disc in space. Whatever it is. And well, yeah,
they're
ruck.
On the Hawkmen's moon.
I don't
or planet,
know how much whip
got.
Training they do in the NFL, but he was pretty good with a whip because they were the two weapons that they were both given. I can believe that Timothy Dalton's character is good with a whip. He's an alien, whatever. Maybe they use whips on his planet. But I can tell you that Flash Gordon is unlikely to be good with a whip. But he was good fighting and having a ruck. Then suddenly, Brian Blessed's character, who is Prince, I've got it written down here, Prince Vulton.
Yep.
But essentially a Hawkman, which was great. The only chubby Hawkman, all the rest of them were quite... There was a dude with the most broken nose I've ever seen in my life.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was going to bring up. It's like his right-hand man, and you look at it, it's like... Your nose is the letter S.
Yeah, I've never seen a broken nose so broken.
You think Brian Blessed broke it?
It was like, bless him, it was like someone had made a clay character like Morph and dropped him.
Yeah, it's GCSE art. I've made this beautiful sculpture of a head and someone's knocked it on its face and you've lifted it up and everything but the nose has survived.
Yeah, and you've just gone, oh, fuck it.
It's like, yeah, he's a boxer.
Yeah, the most broken nose I've ever seen. And they all cared about that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Flash went into a massive war to save this old guy.
And oh, my God, right. So you talk about the American football thing.
Yeah.
Then minutes later, he's killed. Brought back to life, and they're in the ship, and he's like saying to her as she's taking him off to Timothy Dalton's character, he's like, well, maybe we should team up with these people and we'll take over Ming's Imperial Army. I just love the fact she goes, what's teamwork? It's like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
You've mastered interplanetary travel for space and things like that, and you're telling me you don't know what teamwork is.
Was this Ming's daughter?
Yeah.
She was gross.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, she was like, she's Me Too all over her. She was playing all the men and like really using sex to sell her manipulation.
Oh,
on all of them. She had all of those dudes, blue balls.
100%.
Big time.
Now, brilliant bit as well. And I'm so glad that I heard it and then IMD confirmed because someone else has written it on there as well.
Mm.
So... Ming's, at the very beginning of the film, you've got Ming's team talking to him and they're going, in Sector SK, a little planet called Earth. And basically they go on as, I've never heard of this word, Earth. And then it pans across the control board showing all the things that he can cause.
Earthquake.
Earthquakes on there. It's like, okay. Guys, you've made a mistake.
What is it? Is it called Hot Hail?
Hot Hail.
That was the last one he chose. Like, that's the one that's going to get people. He's got earthquakes, tornadoes, everything. And it's like, I'm saving the best till last. Hot Hail.
Hot Hail. And I love how it goes to, like, models as well.
The models
flying.
Were great.
They were so good. Mm. And it was Zarkov's, like, lair, if you want to call it, or laboratory. It just looks so good.
That guy was hilarious. Like, everything about him was brilliant. How, like, he pulls a gun out on his scientist mate. Yeah. You know what his real name is?
No.
T'Pol.
No!
Yep, he is in the credits as T'Pol. T-O-P-O-L.
Oh,
that's
well,
it, that's his name.
There you go.
Yeah, so at first when I come, I was like, oh, I'm going to like this, and realise it's him. Yeah, so...
Womp womp.
Yeah, so he gets a gun out. And then it convinces, and then they crash a plane after Flash. Right, so God, we're going all over the place. I've just got so much information about this film to get out. So that he's on. So it starts off with Flash and her getting on a private jet home from a holiday.
Yeah, so they seem to be on some sort of private aircraft that's been chartered, not just for Flash, but for anyone at that location.
Yeah, and they go through turbulence. Well, they think they called it, what did they kind of term? They called it like invisible air turbulence or calm air turbulence.
Something like
had
that.
Had a name. And cheeky fucking Flash goes up to the cockpit and tells them to go higher. Like he's a fucking pilot. Yeah. Because at this point, you don't know that he's been learning how to fly. Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck does he know?
You kind of get this idea that he's meant to be like, not just this sports person. He's meant to be quite intelligent as well. But they kind of just forget about that by the end.
Oh, and as well, I was like, is that how people ask for signatures? It's like, would you like to do this for me? I think is it. Would you like to sign this for my son, Biff or Buzz?
Oh, that was it. Yes.
Is that how you ask? I thought you'd say, "Can you do this for me, please?" Not, "Would you like to do this?" And then I just shoved it in his hands. Off you go. Then fucking sign this for my son. Anyway, that was just a minor.
So then they crash the plane into it, and then it just all goes to shit from there.
Now the scientist basically he's kidnapped them.
Oh, 100%.
Scientist man
has.
Is a bad guy, right?
He isn't because. Don't forget. She's like, oh, I recognise who he is. He's a lunatic. He's a mental man. He said the world's going to end. If she'd looked out the fucking window and seen that the fact the sky has turned red and the moon's getting rather close to Earth now, he was right.
Yeah, but all of that aside, he's kidnapped them at gunpoint, right? Flash is having a fist fight with him and smacks his head on the launch pad, which was hilarious because it even made a comedy kind of dong.
Okay. And also, Zarkov, you're a highly intelligent scientist.
He can develop a red pedal.
But he could create a spaceship with the red pedal next to the steering wheel.
Why does it have to exist?
Why, even if it has to exist, why not put one on each seat? So whoever sat on the ship, everyone puts their foot down. Oh, everyone's doing it.
So that's the reason he's a second person, because he has to press launch and then sit down. And then the person on the other side of the ship has to put their foot on the pedal. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. No, just make it a switch. Because it's obviously just pushing something down. Just make it a switch. Now you've got a single... Oh, why do you even need it?
Yeah, Wallace and Gromit managed.
Have it depressed. the thing is, so like, he's put a gun on them. He's had a fist fight with Flash. So an old scientist has had a fist fight with a quarterback for the NFL and somehow not had his head kicked in. And then as soon as they get captured by the aliens, she's then like linking arms with the scientist, like they're best mates. And she's like, really like, oh, I need you. And it's like, come on, love. You're like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome sets in fucking quick with you, doesn't
yeah,
it, love?
It does. Yeah, I felt that way with her a lot. She was all over the place. So they really made her an emotional flower, didn't they?
Now, what's funny about all of this, and the bit of reading I did through IMDb, Wikipedia, and so on, this was meant to be a trilogy.
Where it ends on a cliffhanger.
It was so badly received that they didn't even take advantage of the after credits scene.
Well, with the end question mark.
The end question mark as Ming picks up his ring after being killed. So it's like, Ming survived.
Well, someone with a black glove survived. I got the impression that
It's Ming.
Well, he's in the ring. He puts his soul into the ring to save himself from dying.
Good shout, yes.
But someone else picks the ring up.
And transmogrifies them into Ming.
I'm assuming.
But either way, it did so badly, they didn't get any more films. So all these actors got signed up for 3 films and only got 1.
I think that would have destroyed Dalton's career. Imagine if Timothy Dalton had 3 of those.
When was he Bond? It was after this.
It would have been after this, yeah.
How?
Well, maybe he got Bond on the basis of how good he is.
Oh, possibly. In this.
I mean, to be fair, I think anyone's particularly...
No one was bad
really
in it.
Bad. And it's just they work in what they've got.
Gold Mask Bloke, by the way. Loved that costume.
Gold Mask Bloke. The baddie.
Yeah, the baddie.
Who
that's
had
working
an amazing voice.
Yes.
I couldn't place who he was. I've got his name written down, but I couldn't place what he had been in. But we were listening to it going, like, it's almost like he was like the main Shakespearean actor of the film. And he had face covered the whole time. And then when he dies, his eyes like bulging out of his...
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Again, very comedic.
Yeah.
So much to unpack. Oh my God, where do I go next? Okay, the Robin Hood planet.
Yeah.
And how like Ming's daughter's like, oh, I love an initiation ceremony as she pervs over a very apparent teenage boy. It's, again, feels a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I reckon they tried at least 10 takes of that and no one could get the drumming in order with the sticks. So they just went with, okay, everyone just bang your stick whenever the fuck you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't care. I know it's meant to be this ritual where everyone's going dun, dun, dun. Oh, no, no, over there's got it out. And suddenly it goes from dun, 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 dun. Everyone's doing it whenever they want. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, give up.
What did you think of this? So there's a scene where, so when they've first captured the three of them, they're deciding basically they're going to sexually enslave the woman. It's essentially what's going to her. They're going to put Flash to death by gas. And the scientist, they wipe his memory and implant his memory.
Level 6 wipe. Couldn't even get rid of my brain. I can even remember songs by the Beatles. But
what did you think about the scene where they actually do remove his memories?
It's creepy as fuck, but it's hysterically funny as well. It's like, I'm having a barbecue, having a great time, swimming, yay. She's dead.
What? No, was that his missus?
Yeah, that's his wife.
It's like, because it looks like they're doing a bar mitzvah. They're all in like a Jewish attire, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, it looks like, they're having fun. They're lifting her up in the air, chucking her in the pool. And then it jump cuts to him not in those clothes. She's laid out by a
pool.
She's
laid out with a pool with a blanket over her, dead.
Dead. And then he regresses further and his mum and his dad all
and
dying.
And we're hearing War Machine. And then he's born.
Yeah, and then he's in the womb.
This is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
This
fucking
is what I was just about to say. This is one of the scenes in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory I really hate is that one in the tunnel. This is the tunnel scene of Flash Gordon.
Yes, it is. Yeah. You're right. 100% it is. I hadn't even thought about it like that. You're right.
Wow, what an insight. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry while I was watching that scene. It was both. It was both. I did it. Whiplash from that one scene. The whole film. That scene doesn't fit because I didn't know what I'm supposed to feel about it.
No.
Yeah.
And you got to admit as well. You look at the laser and it's just like, you watched Doctor No, didn't you? And you wanted a laser.
Yeah.
So you've done your best to copy it on the cheap.
Well, let me tell you what film they did watch. They watched Star Wars.
Oh dear God, did they? Because Leia being sold off to Jabba the Hutt and being a sex slave straight away.
Mm-hmm.
The planet that he ends up landing and going squidge on at one point is quite obviously Yoda's planet. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's the same set they used, because a lot of it looks very, very similar to Dagobah.
Yeah. Well, because the original, so A New Hope 77, this came out in 1980.
Yeah.
So 3 years later. Just the way that some of the baddies on the ships are talking, very posh military, arms behind their backs, like Death Star kind of, the red weird creatures were clearly their version of stormtroopers, dumb as fuck.
Yes,
you know?
Couldn't just shoot straight or anything
so
like that.
So much. So I was just like, Star Wars.
Yeah,
they weren't even hiding it, that was Star Wars.
No, they've stolen a lot from Star Wars in this film.
But it's clearly its own thing. I couldn't get over just how wonderfully colourful it was. I was so happy with all of the.
I'd tell you one of the effects that I really liked, and I think it's again Mythbusters may have done it, or Adam Savage did at least. There's videos on it online. You can look it up on YouTube. How they did the skies, and it's basically these giant water tanks. The camera directly below it. Then they used it was Star Trek, I think, one of the Star Trek films, possibly Wrath of Khan or Motion Picture. And they put the camera under this water tank, they put really powerful lights, and then they just dump ink into it. So that first scene where you see the clouds and stuff, that red, black clouds appearing, that's just ink being shot into a tank of water with the camera recording it.
Okay.
And it's really effective.
Yeah, it works.
But talking of filming techniques, and I noticed this several times, obviously the 80s is still fairly early for chroma key. It's still not something that's been done all the time. Superman popularized it. I mean, something else probably popularized it, but Superman for me is what popularized it. And there's so many times when you realize, so all the Hawkmen flying with the lovely sunset behind them, it's really actually through them as well.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where like, Flash is stood on the Hawks, whatever that thing was, and it's being destroyed. Well, no, when he's stood in the where they've just had their big fight scene, it's being blown up.
Yeah.
He stood there and he's being chroma keyed out as well, because you can see the background through him. Talking about the bike, why have the Hawk people got rocket bikes when they can fucking fly?
I didn't get some of that. Like, I get that they can all fly, but surely they have spaceships too.
I'm guessing it's just a war for their machine, own maybe.
Like, just to keep them, like, safe. But I don't think they've got guns. They all had just sticks.
Yeah, I mean...
Were they shooting?
I think they did have guns. When they fly in their squadrons and they decide to help... I mean, what a fucking turnaround that is. It's like, no, I'm not helping you. No, I'm not carrying you. We've got too much of our own stuff to carry anyway. Bye. Gordon's alive. Yeah, I'm on a rocket ship, on a rocket bike. I'm completely flying blind. You're flying blind? Oh, I said you're a homing beacon. I should thank you, really. 30 seconds ago, you could have saved his life and made it a lot easier.
They were moving the plot on. Yeah, there's a few points where they move the plot on. Yeah, definitely. But overall, I thought the film was great. I had a lot of fun. I think even for the time, I think it went a bit too far with some of the sex stuff. They almost came out and said that he was going to rape her. He might as well have said the words.
Yeah. Because
it was so heavily implied. Almost to the point of saying, I'm going to have sex with you.
The wedding scene.
I like how they had the same wedding march on Ming's planet as they do on Earth.
But then the priest basically going, to have and to hold has become to have and do as you please with, but not eject into space.
Oh, yeah.
Get evil stare. Of course, until she's lost her usefulness.
I wrote the same thing. Not to blast her into space. That's what he said. You know what I liked in that scene? The planes flying past with the words. And it said, all creatures will make merry under pain of death.
Yes.
There was just little bits like that. It was almost like Futurama. It's like I was watching Futurama sometimes.
Well, you can see where a lot of modern sci-fi comedy got a lot of their sci-fi comedy ideas from. Futurama's definitely in it. The Orville, anything like that. Galaxy Quest. You can see that they've stolen a lot from this in the comedic styles. Whether or not they thought it was meant to be serious or not, you can see where they got some ideas from.
I like how his daughter wanted to get him killed by poisoning his power potion that he always has before making love.
Yes.
Gross. Oh, how lechy was he with
Viagra
his own daughter?
Every day.
How gross was he with his own daughter at the beginning? And she was like twiddling his moustache. I was like, oh, this is so disgusting. And her little, poor little, I call them midgets. I don't know what the right word of saying is. His little pet she had. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oof.
Not good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm just looking at the IMDb trivia here.
Dwarf's probably the correct word.
Flash jumping towards the camera screaming, yeah, was improvised by Sam J. Jones.
Oh, yeah, that's why it's shit.
Nobody
could
figure out how to end the movie.
Yeah, it was shit. I didn't like that bit at all. I was like, oh, come on. It felt out of character, too.
Massively so. Massive. But then, you know, if you imagine celebrating an end of an American football game or you've just scored a touchdown sports.
I've
made us a sport
you
podcast.
You just placed the best touch kick, field touchdown.
I've forgotten what. Okay, the thing we're missing massively, and we are massively missing this though. How fucking good is the soundtrack?
Oh, this is the best bit.
Now, I know it's Queen. And again, there's a trivia thing that's saying Freddie Mercury wanted to be in the film. That would have been brilliant. I would have thought that would have been right.
It replaced the character and put Freddie Mercury there.
He would have just been like Ming's entertainer. He would have just been sat on the deck whenever Ming's there with the piano, just playing music or something like that.
He would have been the weird little creature that Jabba the Hutt has. What's that guy? Stiddy's going to tell me off because he knows. What's that character called?
Oh, I don't fucking know. Fucking don't ask me shit like that. It's Star Wars. It's not Star Trek. You can imagine. No, he just makes up a song every time Ming comes in. Ming has come into the room with a woman.
He'd be like, bad choice.
Yeah, bad choice again by Ming. Oh dear, I'm dead.
Zap, you've got Ming ringed. That's where you might be up for that.
Ming ring. Have you got Ming ring? Unfortunately, our cream won't help, but it feels nice. But no, the soundtrack, and I've got to say, the end credit soundtrack, wow.
Yeah, it was so
good. That hits hard.
Yeah, it was just brilliant, wasn't it? You know, speaking of the soundtrack, like the intro, we're like, it was like Marvel intro before Marvel did it.
Yes.
You know, with the actual comic bits. Yeah, it's very good. Just overall, let's come to the end of it. We've been going for nearly half an hour.
Oh my God, yeah, we need to
I enjoyed it. I know we complained a little bit about some of the kind of chauvinistic nature of it, but I think that was just the way it was back then.
It was the way it was. It was accepted. It is.
I wouldn't have thought of anything different about it at the time. Just now, just the way things are, obviously you think it now, but I still enjoyed it, loved it.
And it's just filmed for 2025. Fuck you, Alien Romulus.
Yeah. I lied. It's not Alien Romulus, it's this. No. More people should watch this if they haven't watched it. You've got to watch it. It was really fun, silly. Whether they wanted it to be funny or not, I found it quite funny.
Yep, 100%. Really, really enjoyed it. Don't care about the issues that it might have. It was just fun, stupid, and enjoyable. I am not going to be distracted from that. And I tell you what, I think I enjoyed it more than I did when I would have watched it as a kid, because I understand a lot of the jokes now.
Yeah.
Freeze, the bloody bastards!
Okay, so next time on the Untitled Sci-Fi Show, an hour in, I've just said the name of the podcast.
Well done.
It's professional. We are going to be watching, contrary to what I may or may not have said on the Alien Romulus bonus, we're going to be watching Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest, the closest to Star Trek you can get without it being Star Trek or the Orville.
Yeah, keeping our safe zone. keep still hugging near Star Trek, but not quite.
Are we allowed to watch Tim Allen?
Oh, fuck, I don't care. we discussed this already. We're ignoring that stuff.
Yeah, ignoring politics, unless it's brutally horrible Elon Musk style stuff.
Well, people are still watching Toy Story, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you can't watch a Woody, what can you watch? And he was Buzz, not Woody. Shit.
Oh, was he the pilot's son?
What?
The pilot's son in Flash was called Buzz.
Oh, God.
We just literally just said that. Right. Where can they find us? They can find us.
The internet.
On the internet. Thanks for coming, everyone. Love you. Bye-bye. No, you can find us on X/Twitter.
Yes.
Or you can find us on Blue Sky. So X Twitter is @_untitledsci-fi. And you are now @_
Variety Show Pod.
I noticed you changed it.
Yeah, almost all of the Variety Show stuff now is _Variety Show Pod.
Yeah. On Blue Sky, it's whatever Blue Sky's thing is, but just look for Untitled Sci-Fi Show and you are Variety Show.
Varietyshow.channel84.co.uk.
Email in your guess at what the intro is at rob@channel84.co.uk. If you'd like to speak to Tom, that's tom@channel84.co.uk. Or you can email both of us at podcasts@channel84.co.uk. Website, www.channel84.co.uk. And you can find us, you can find the other Studio Channel 84 shows, Lightly Used, and Who Takes Socks Off. And that's it.
He's done it, ladies and gents. He has managed it on his own. Unlike the last episode when he completely forgot we had to do this section.
Well, we nearly ended
it
then.
He's actually done it brilliantly this time. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, hooray. Oh, what's the button?
That's the wrong one.
This one.
And I'm now deaf.
It was so loud.
I'll just press the top one because you can. hang on. I've got one. We've got to do it. Nonce watch.
Nonce watch.
Oh, no. Stop it. No, that's music. Oh, shit. Just end it, please.
See you later, guys. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you for listening to the Untitled Sci-Fi Show.
This station is now shutting down and we'll be back in 2 weeks. May the Force live long and prosper inside of you. This was a Studio Channel 84 network show. To find more, head over to channel84.co.uk now.
With all his men, he couldn't even kill Flash.
Gordon's alive!